Greetings to you all in the most blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I bring greetings on my own behalf, on behalf of my family and my congregation, United Christ Church of India. Some of our folks are here, and we bring greetings from the other side of the parking lot. It's a joy and honor to be with you this morning, to be part of the worship service and to glorify God in communion and to be blessed with the ministry of the word and with the ministry of the sacrament. The Anglicans are so rhythmic in their worship that once a non-Anglican priest was invited to share the word. As he stood on the pulpit, he was setting the microphone like this and he said, "Something wrong with the microphone." And the response was, So we are so tuned, like we do not hear certain words sometimes, but when we say the Lord be with you and with your spirit. And that preacher was so confused that when I said the problem with the microphone and with you. Today we observe this day in the liturgical calendar as the Trinity Sunday, a Sunday to celebrate the work accomplished by the Triune God on the day of Pentecost. Pentecost marks as a new era initiated by the Triune God, the beginning of a new creation order. New era, or the new era of church, commences its mission to proclaim gift of forgiveness of sins, walking with Christ, witnessing for Christ, and the church as a community is invited and entrusted to teach the people or equip the people the importance of repentance and also to equip people for the mission of God. Today, as we focus our hearts, minds, body, and soul on the Triune God, you know, we are invited into this new order, the order of creation, to gather from every tribe, every nation, every people, and every language. There are biblical foundations which are drawn for the doctrine of Trinity. We see the passages from the Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 19, the Great Commission. We do not have the direct relationship or the direct scriptures talking about Trinity, but there are some key biblical passages which echoes the presence of the Triune God. During the time of Jesus' baptism, the voice from above and the coming of the Holy Spirit is an affirmation of the existence of the Triune God. St. Paul, in his letters, especially in 2 Corinthians, he mentions while blessing the congregation in the name of the Triune God. In scriptures, we found that this Triune God, whom we seek and serve, has a relational nature of salvation and a life which is centered around himself. There are historical developments which are found, or so many heresies which have attacked the existence of this community. There were early church fathers by name Tertullian and Augustine has helped articulate and defended the doctrine against various heresies which have emerged to attack the church. If we recollect the creedal statements that we affirm our faith in the words of Nicene Creed, which is in where the councils of Nicaea met in 325 AD and later in the Council of Constantinople in 381, the formal creedal statements about the Trinitarian belief is strengthened, nurtured, and encouraged. God exists as a loving relational unity of three distinct persons, each fully and equally God, yet each distinct in their roles and relation to one another. This profound mystery invites believers into a deeper relationship with God and enriches their understanding of his nature and of his work. Dear people of God, this morning, today, I would like to dwell into this profound mystery of the Holy Trinity, exploring how God manifests and calls us to be part of his mission from the Old Testament reading as well as from the Gospel reading. I would like to bring to our understanding about the two aspects of the triune God in our lives. The first, let us look at God as family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, a complete family, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The second aspect is God as a community, that is the church, the believers gathering or the ecclesia. Let us look at God as family from the book of Exodus, which is read to us. We know the encounter Moses at the burning bush. Moses was living a life for his personal survival as an asylee, as a refugee. He was in a strange land, and we do not have any record of how spiritual or what kind of spiritual discipline Moses was having. Was he praying every day? Was he having conversation with God every day? We do not know. We do not have any records about Moses' spiritual life. In spite of that, you know, when he saw a fire, a burning bush, when he felt that there is a fire but nothing is burnt out, maybe he was sad that the fire is not consuming anything. In our times, you know, if fire comes, we know whom to alert. We immediately call firefighters. If there is a fire, we alarm and we always be on the safety of the community which is around us. And Moses, as he was so curious, he tells in himself that, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Certainly, it is not a wildfire. A lonely person is called by God. We need to always remember in our mind and heart that God calls us when we are in isolation. God speaks to us when we are leading a strange life. God calls us when we are running away from our family. God chooses us when we are on our own business. And here, God is making a connection with Moses, calling him to be part of God's plan and family. God comes down to introduce himself and in the terms of familial relationships, indicating that he is not a distant deity, but one deeply involved in the lives of his people. By identifying as the God of Moses' forefathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob. And God is emphasizing the continuity of his promises and his unwavering commitment to his people. This act of revelation signifies God's personal and relational nature of God. In the household of God, there is abundance of grace. We see the concern is for the families in Egypt, the suffering families, the displaced families, the families who are longing for their identity, the families who are vulnerable to the harsh timings, work timings of the ruler of the time, the families who were shedding tears for the intervention of the God Almighty for liberation. Moses is chosen for this task, chosen by God to be part of God's plan and God's family to liberate his people so that this liberated community would be incorporated into the household of God. In our day-to-day routine, we are so much so occupied. We live for ourselves. That is the general tendency. But here, the Word of God is powerfully reminding us to be mindful of God's call when we are busy, when we are on our own business, when we are doing our own routine, God may call us. Sometimes God may call us when we go onto a mountaintop hike. God may call us when you are engaging yourselves with busy decision making in your office or in your business. But we need to be prepared to represent God and to be part of God's family. The second aspect that I would like to remind about God as a community. The community of God is so powerfully manifested on the day of Pentecost. Last Sunday, most of the liturgical churches, including us, we celebrated the day of Pentecost. There were about 14 nationals or 14 language-speaking people who have gathered to celebrate the feast of Passover. And we see on the day of Pentecost, when people were awaiting to receive the presence of the Holy Spirit or the gift of Holy Spirit, a new community is consecrated. That is the foundational day of the church. That is the beginning of a new era. Here in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 1 to 16, we hear the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus is emphasizing about the term kingdom of God, kingdom of God. New community is chosen to demonstrate the works of the kingdom of God. To be part of this new community, the following is the criteria which Jesus is speaking or emphasizing. One is, to see the kingdom of God, the requisite is you need to be born again. You need to be born again. Second requisite is, to enter the kingdom of God, one should be born of water and the Spirit. What does it mean to be born again? Nicodemus was asking Jesus. This is not possible. He is reasoning as a scholar of the time, because Nicodemus was one of the significant persons who is a member of the important council representing the Jewish community. He was a well-learned scholar who can interpret the law of Moses. Such a man, he was unable to understand the words of Jesus. In our times, we all pretend to be scholars to ourselves, maybe by our appearance, our dressing up, or with the communities with which we live. We pretend to be scholars, but we do not understand the words of Jesus. Nicodemus wanted to know about Jesus, but he was unable to understand what Jesus is talking. Are we in that stage? If we are unable to understand the words of Jesus, we cannot see this kingdom. We cannot perceive the kingdom which is inaugurated by our Lord Jesus. Nicodemus had so many questions in his mind, and finally Jesus had to tell him, "You are too worldly that you are unable to understand me. You are too worldly." We are so much so dominated with our own works, with our own engagements, with our own personal identity. We live in a culture of isolation. We live in a culture of individualism, which are really shadowing our insights, are unable to visualize the presence of kingdom among us. And here Jesus is emphasizing about the spirit of everlasting life. To experience this kingdom, one need to assimilate their own identity. To be part of God's community means to assimilate your own identity. As how St. Paul rightly says, "It is no more I who live, it is Christ who lives within me." It is we who radiate or present Jesus by our living in the community where we are located. among the people where we are, we are representing the community of God. St. Paul rightly says in his letter to Romans, the community of God will assimilate the worldly flesh. You will bury yourself into the world and you will exist with the Spirit of God, because God is Spirit. And here we see St. Paul is reminding the community members in Rome the importance or the significance of living with the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 8, he was talking elaborately about the life in Spirit. What does it mean? Do we have to become spirit beings, or do we incorporate or receive that Spirit which has been coming down on the day of Pentecost upon God's community? The coming of the Holy Spirit liberated the people who were speaking different languages to understand others. As God's community, we are bestowed with the Spirit of God to understand the people's language, people's suffering, people's reality of life with ourselves. When we have the Spirit of God, that will enable us to understand others, calling us to the baptism of the Spirit, to be part of God's family and to represent as a God's community. The unifying factor with God is Spirit. God is Spirit. He embodied us in the Spirit to become a new creation. It is not the bond or relationship in flesh, but in Spirit. In John 3:16, we read that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. This act of love is a collaborative mission for the redemption of humanity. Community of God is called to preach unity. Community of God is called to encourage one another. Community of God is encouraged to overcome individualism to collectivism, overcoming every weakness in flesh, and to be submissive to the Spirit of God. A community to reflect the relational, communal nature of God. God is calling us to be part of this new community which he inaugurated on the day of Pentecost, to lead a life belonging to the family of God, to liberate people, and in the community of God, to demonstrate the works of Christ. Be renewed of your mind and heart. Today, as we continue to ponder upon these scriptures and the day, Trinity Sunday, let us embrace and nurture our spiritual and biological families, fostering relationships rooted in love and faith, to be called as one family of God. Actively, let us participate in the community work, caring for one another, sharing our resources with others, supporting and uplifting one another as members of the body of Christ, as a community of God. Today, Holy Trinity invites us into a deeper understanding of God as a family, God as a community. As we reflect on the scriptures from Exodus and St. John's Gospel, let us embrace our role in this divine relationship. May we grow in love, unity, living out the transformative power of the Holy Spirit in our daily lives. Shall we bow our heads and pause for a moment and examine ourselves in silence? Heavenly Father, we ask you for revealing yourselves as a relational and communal God. Help us, Lord, to reflect your love in our lives, in our families, and among our communities. Holy Spirit, renew us and transform us and guide us in unity and collaboration. Help us, Lord, to live out your will and bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray.